Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
What a great series this has been, but I love church. Do you know today in the world there are 2.2 billion people who claim to be a Christian today? Come on, 2.2 billion. The church has grown three times over the last 100 years, and this morning, already part of the world has celebrated church together. Those people in Asia and right through Europe and Africa have already came together. Think about that. There are people gathering in all different kinds of churches today, but they've gathered together just like us, and they have worshipped, they have sang, they have read scripture, they have gathered together, and here in Peterhead, we get to do the same as well. I have always been in church. Even before I was born, I was in my mother's womb, and I was in church. And growing up in the northeast of Scotland, I have visited many different churches. My dad would preach, and my mom would sing in a quartet, and we would go and visit all different churches in the northeast. But also, I had family members in their churches, and we'd go along to other things. Some churches were big, some churches were small, some churches were traditional in their expression, some were non-traditional, but all these different churches in this northeast corner were united by that same devotion to Jesus and heart to reach other people. And growing up in the northeast of Scotland, we were exposed to many things, but probably it wasn't until I went to Bible college that I was exposed to other kinds of expressions of church. I remember one of the classes that I took, a practical class, encouraged us to go to other church settings that we'd maybe never been to before. And probably the most different one, I would say, was the Greek Orthodox Church in Glasgow. Anyone been to the Greek Orthodox Church in Glasgow before? And did anybody know there's a Greek Orthodox Church in Glasgow? Well, I have been, and that was a very interesting morning. Beautiful church on the west side of Glasgow. Walked past it, you probably have noticed it, but when you went in, it was an incredible small church filled with devoted believers. But for me, I'll be honest, it was so foreign. The priest did everything at the front. He read out the scriptures, he prayed. He highlighted things, he kissed the saints and did all that kind of stuff. And I just spectated, and I'll be honest, as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, well, if this is the right way to do church, what I've been doing for the past 20 years, maybe at that point, is completely different. Although the expression is different, although we might not all agree with everything that's going on there, I'll tell you something I did feel in that place, a community. A place where people that was their expression, they were in Glasgow, not in Greece or eastern parts of Europe, but they were in Glasgow and they'd found community together there. But on that journey of visiting other churches in Glasgow, and then when I was in the States for a while as well and coming back, I went on my own journey of wanting to know, well, what's the kind of church that I would want to go to and I would want to give my life to build? And praise the Lord, 8 years ago, came here to Peterhead, and I can truthfully say this, that I found a place where I thought, this is what I want to do. I've responded to the call Jesus has given to me to be part of building the church, and could do that anywhere in the world, but sense that God has called me here to Peterhead, and this is the kind of church that I want to be part of, and I believe you do as well, because you're here this morning. A church where I want to raise my family, a church that I believe it's worth giving your life for. I love the church. I still believe that the local church is the hope for the world, that is the vehicle that God has decided to use to get the good news, the gospel, throughout the world. It's incredible that something starts in Jerusalem, and now here in Peterhead, 2,000 years later, we've got our own church history and everything that's happened here. It's incredible what God has done. Even as I said earlier, in the last century, the church has grown three times, the 2.2 billion people. I love church. Turn with me in your Bible to a scripture that we've undoubtedly mentioned a few times here, but it's so helpful for us to just get an insight to what those early believers were like. It's in Acts chapter 2, right at the end of the chapter, and we're going to read together from verse 42. If you've got your Bible, please turn to it. If you don't, there is on the screen. Follow along together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Father, we thank you for all that you've done in the past. We thank you for the church. We thank you that we are part of the church, but we believe there are greater days ahead. And we pray, Lord, today for the church here in Peterhead. We pray that it would go from strength to strength. And I pray for every living stone, every person here today. I pray that you'd help us to live out that which you have placed within us today. Father, I pray for Pastor Neil this morning in Shetland with John and Tiffany Rollo. I pray your blessing upon him, maybe even preaching right now. I pray a fresh anointing upon him. I pray that they would see people being added to their church today and added to the kingdom of God as he preaches. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them and bless us here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Jerusalem believers did a lot. They taught the apostles teaching, they shared communion, they prayed, they did wonders, they did things that people were amazed at, they shared their things with other people, everyone was without need, they met together, they praised God together, and they ate a lot of food together. No wonder people were joining this church. And it's easy to kind of put this church on a pedestal and create a utopia of this is the perfect church. But how many people know that in that church there were people as well? Yeah, there were people as well. But this is a great description of what these earliest believers were doing. And there are some insights here for us today. But although the early believers did a lot, I don't want to talk about today just about what they did. I want to talk about who they were. Because although they did a lot, their main concern was not what they were doing, but who they were trying to be like, and that is Jesus. See, this morning when we talk about the church, we're not talking about bricks and mortar. We're not talking about legal and governance structures. We're talking about everyone here on the pew. We are the church. We heard a few weeks ago that we are living stones that are being built together. And the question this morning is, what is the church in Peterhead to be known for? What are we at Apex Church to be known for? Are we going to be known as a church who do a lot? I think it's important that we do a lot. But isn't it more important that we're known for who we are? Now, what is the character? Our tagline has been on our screen already this morning, that Apex Church is a life-giving church at the heart of our community. What is at the heart of every church? It must be that we love God and that we love other people. People who are here and people still waiting to come here. We love one another. But I believe that we here in Peterhead, and I believe that early believers were life-giving believers. That there was a life-giving church. A life-giving church is all about Jesus. A life-giving church is all about Jesus. Therefore, the church is to be a reflection of Jesus to the world. You know, a life-giving church is more about people than it is about programs. The programs are there to serve people and to help us to reach other people and to help us to grow in our faith, but a life-giving church is all about people. It's all about us here today. And I want to speak to you for a few moments today about the life-giving church. You know, there are some churches in our world today that we would be struggling to call them life-giving. You know, you go in and you go out and you feel worse for being there. And it'll never be said that Peterhead, Apex Church, is not a church which is alive. Because if we are going to be like Jesus, the church should be alive. We had a friend here earlier this year called Ed Wells, and his church in Switzerland is called Church Alive Switzerland. Well, wouldn't it be great if we had church here today called Church Alive Peterhead? Wouldn't it be great today if we had Church Alive Peterhead? Yeah? Wouldn't that be great? Why would that be great? Because Jesus is alive. Do I need to remind us this morning? He's alive forevermore. He says in Revelation, I was dead, but now I'm alive. I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys. Come on. He holds the keys. I think we've got the scripture. He holds the keys of death and Hades. Jesus said when he was here on earth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said this, that I am the resurrection and the life. He, at the end of John's gospel, it says that there is life in his name. And I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. He says these words. He compares Jesus to Adam, Adam being the first Adam, and Jesus being the last Adam, and saying that this last Adam, Jesus, has a life-giving spirit. Believer this morning, you've got a life-giving spirit within you today. You're not dead. You're not no longer in a grave. You're alive. Just as Jesus is risen from the dead, so are you. A life-giving spirit is within you. Come on, let's remind ourselves today. Spirit within me is alive. And the church is to be alive. I believe it's okay to come to church and enjoy being in church. I believe there are times that we've seen already this morning when we have a moment of stillness and a moment of quiet. I believe that's appropriate. But I believe there are maybe even more times where we should be excited, exuberant, enthusiastic, enjoying, because we've got something to be pleased about today, is that Jesus is alive and the church is alive today. Not just on a Friday night when there's 220 kids, but even on Sundays. Everything we do as a church should be life-giving. Everything that we do in our community should be life-giving. You know what Peterhead needs today? A life-giving church, which is not deflating things, but is speaking life and positivity and encouragement into our community. If we're believing for revival, we're going to have to be positive people that are believing for revival to come here in Peterhead, because the church is alive. The church was birthed by the Holy Spirit. And the day of Pentecost, we see that incredible day, that moment which changed history. And we see as the book goes on how the church began, and the Holy Spirit birthed, that life-giving spirit birthed the church. And the early believers lived in the power of the Holy Spirit and the life flow of the Holy Spirit. Not just when they gathered on a Sunday, but we read that they got together every single day. And they broke bread together and they prayed together every single day. The church was alive, and the church needs to be alive here in Peterhead today. Why? Because the people are alive. Ephesians tells us this, but because of his great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. The church is alive because it is filled with people who have the life-giving spirit within them, that are no longer dead in their transgressions, but are alive in Christ Jesus forever. You are alive forevermore. The life-giving spirit is within you. You're not dead. You're not distant. You're not dormant. You're alive. And that is what differentiates you from everyone else in this world who is still dead in their transgressions. You have been made alive in Christ Jesus. And that's something that we can celebrate and be glad for today. And I'm giving you free permission to enjoy yourself in church this morning. That it's okay to be alive. You know, the church needs to be alive. Why? Because we've got a dying world that we're trying to reach. If Paul tells us here that there's a point in our life where we were dead in our transgressions, there are still people in Peterhead who are dead in their transgressions, but there is hope for them. Everything we should do should be filled with life, with joy, with hope, with enthusiasm, and with excitement. That is what this town needs. That's what Peterhead needs. So what does a life-giving church look like? Well, it's alive. It's like Jesus, it's alive. But Jesus also shows us other things as well. Jesus is generous. And these early believers were generous. Not necessarily wealthy people, them all, but they were generous. They had a heart for others. They sold their possessions so that they made sure that everyone had plenty, that everybody had what they needed. There was a generous spirit throughout these people. I believe a church that is alive, a church that is life-giving, will be generous. Generous not just in practical things, but generous in our words. Generous in our actions. Generous because we realize that Jesus is generous. A generous community loves, cares, and supports for one another. Jesus is our model of what it looks like to be generous. He is our model of unconditional, sacrificial love. Jesus goes to those who are marginalized, those that seem to be excluded. He brings them in. And Jesus shows us and teaches us the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is this: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus gives us the greatest and second greatest commandment: to love God with everything that we have and to love other people equally. That is our commission. If we are to be a generous church, we are to be a loving church. I had a conversation this week with Anna Buchan, and she was telling me that the church, through WOW Ministry, has distributed 48 prayer blankets since October last year. Something like that. Something like that. Well, it's almost correct. Am I right? It's October time last year. In about a year, that's almost one a week. Isn't that incredible to think that there are almost 50 families in our area that know that this church is praying for them? That ladies have taken the time to put that prayer blanket together, have prayed it and blessed for it, and have been able to give to families, to go to their door, to hand that over and say, this church is praying for you. I think that's one of the greatest ways that we can love people, is not just saying, I'm praying for you, but actually demonstrating it as well. And there are people that maybe are no longer with us. They didn't win their fight, but there are people coming after them that are enjoying the benefits of that prayer blanket. And they can turn to that and ask and believe that some people are praying for us right now. We, on Friday night, had 220 kids here in Mega Kids. On Tuesday night, there was Alpha going on, and people are coming who are maybe just coming for food. And that's the need, the point of need they're at just now. That's where they're at in their journey. Last night, it was great to see young people in our Apex Center on Friday night as well. We're showing people love in a practical measure. Love is to be the hallmark, the chief virtue of a life-giving church. A church which is life-giving should be loving. And a church that is loving will be life-giving. Prayer blankets, meals, kids, whatever it is. And we have a great opportunity to do that. But what does that look like to be loving? Well, we demonstrate it in generosity. And there's two ways I'm going to look at it this morning. Is firstly, encouragement. I remember as growing up as a probably a boy in my teens, there were people who were further on the journey who were encouraging me. And maybe if I had an opportunity to share or do something, somebody said a positive word of affirmation, and that really encouraged me. I believe a life-giving church should be a church where we encourage one another, where we support people, particularly the next generation. I believe it's so important that we go out of our way to not just look in our present, but look to the future and encourage those who are coming behind us. We've got a room full downstairs today of children who are learning about God's love and learning about what God wants for them today. We've got to encourage our children. I'm thinking to my wee man who's only 10 months old, but he's going to come through, and I want him to be part of a life-giving church, a church which is alive, a church which knows the power and life flow of the Holy Spirit, a powerful demonstration of love, of encouragement. I believe we need to encourage those who are younger in the faith, those that are maybe just starting off. I loved listening to Pastor Neil's message on Monday, and like everyone else, I burst out laughing with that illustration that he shared of someone who used a very descriptive word of his sermon one day. And that's the kind of church we are. We encourage people who aren't perfect. There's no one in this room perfect, or just starting their journey, and that's our desire. Whether they're on the journey at Alpha, whether they've came through youth, whatever it is, we want to encourage people who are younger in the faith. We want to encourage each other. Because who knows that some days when you come to church, it's maybe been a real effort to get here today. You know, you've made a sacrifice of praise. You've made that decision that although I don't feel like being here, I'm going to be here because I know it's going to bless me and benefit me. We need to encourage one another. Maybe before we leave this morning, can I encourage, just think of one thing you could say to someone. Hey, it was great to see you today. Or maybe you haven't seen him for a few weeks. Hey, I've really missed you. I'm so glad you're here. Something along that lines. Let's all leave with a positive word of encouragement today. I'm glad to see everybody here today. Please feel encouraged. The other thing, though, is empathy. Empathy is a step further than sympathy. We can all say we feel sorry for people, but actually to try to understand how someone feels, that's the step further. And whilst on holiday, I only managed to read a book in 3/4, which is a miracle. I was absolutely pleased with that. But one of the book that I did manage to complete was a story by Simon Thomas. So I'm sure you've seen this guy on Blue Peter Presenter or Sky Sports News, and maybe you've been following his journey on social media or in the press recently. And sadly, a couple of years ago now, his wife Gemma, who had just celebrated her 40th birthday, passed away suddenly. She was diagnosed with leukemia and 3 days later passed away, 40 years old, and they have an 8-year-old son. And he spoke through that journey and that experience that they had. And I'll be honest, whilst on that deck chair, sitting next to Deborah and wee Daniel, there were tears running down my face as I read those words. But what encouraged me from this is Simon spoke so openly about his faith, but also about the believers in his local church who stood with them, that sometimes could only pray and other times had no words to say, but he spoke about knowing that they were there, the presence in his home, just that they were standing alongside them. That's more than just, hey, I really feel sorry for you, mate. That's empathy. And I believe that's what Peterhead needs today. It needs encouragement, yes, but it needs empathy as well. That's what a broken world needs. People not just say, I feel really sorry for what you're going through, but people to stand with them. And that's one of the two of the greatest ways that we can show and demonstrate the love of God through our encouragement and through our empathy. People should find that when they come to church. In a life-giving church, they should feel this church is alive, that there is love here, that there is encouragement, and there is empathy when we need it. And finally, this morning, the church is a growing church. I love how it says that the number was being added to daily that were being saved. This was a growing church. No wonder it was so exciting. It was so alive. It was a growing church. And I believe that is, as we've heard already this morning, that is the plan that God has for us, that we would all grow in our own faith through our own personal devotion, but also that this church would grow numerically as well. I believe there are more people in our community that still need to hear the good news and respond to it. Come on, people. I believe that there are still people in the Northeast that still need to make that decision. There are thousands of people not in churches today. There are in other places, maybe not even casting a thought to what we're doing here today. But it matters. It really matters. See, this was a growing church. A growing church. Our family grew this week. I had the privilege of another nephew. My sister gave birth to their first son, Jonah, this week. And just as our family is growing, I'm believing for our church family to grow as well. And that's really why we exist, to be a life-giving church at the heart of our community, to give people the opportunity to respond to this great message. And you could be here today and you've been attending church, maybe first time here, but you've never actually made that first step, that decision to have a relationship with Jesus. You see, this morning, I don't want to go away thinking I've been talking about religion and legalism, because there's no life in that. That's dead. What there is life in is a relationship which God sent his son to earth to establish. And in a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to an invitation to begin that relationship. Because maybe you're here today and you are dead in your transgressions. That you know that there are things in your life that you regret. There's rubbish that you've done and you just wish that it would go away. Well, the good news this morning is that because of God sending his son Jesus into this world, living a perfect life and dying on the cross, he took your place. He took the punishment for all those transgressions, your sins, all those things that you feel rubbish about. He took your place. He took the sacrifice and the punishment that you deserve, so that if you today would reach out and ask him to forgive you by faith of all your sins, if you believe that he is Lord, that he did die in your place, and you confess that with your mouth, the Bible says that you will be saved. And I'm believing in a few moments we're going to give you that opportunity to do that. I wonder if the band could come and help me right now, because I want to land this with this thought. Just this week, I had some great news again. I have the privilege to marry couples, and I've had the privilege of marrying a lot of my friends. And there was a couple maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and a good friend all through school, and he was getting married, of course, we'll do that, and we met up, and we did all the pre-marriage stuff. And I was honest with him, hey, if you want God to bless your marriage, then first and foremost, you need to be in a local church, be planted. If you want God to bless that marriage, do that. And I was really going for it, really hoping, come on, let's see maybe him attending church again. Fantastic. And they've been doing so. But his wife came from a family that were not church attenders. And just this week, though, I'd heard, and I knew that she'd been going along to Mothers and Toddlers. She'd done Alpha, and she'd been going along and stuff. But just this week, I heard that she made a decision when she left church last week to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior. And I'll be honest with you, I do a lot of weddings, and that's always the prayer, that this is going to be a witness, that this is going to be. And equally, when I do a wedding, I never stand at an altar and say, you know this, I really like the groom, but I'm not too sure about the bride. And you know, one of the strongest metaphors in the Bible, in the New Testament, about God's relationship to the church is the groom and the bride. We are the bride of Christ. And just as we make those vows with couples and to honor one another, forsaking all others, to be faithful to one another, hey, when we make this decision to come into God's family, it's our responsibility to be faithful to God, but also to be faithful to his church and to one another. As I was reading in the New Testament this week, there are two instances when Paul opens his letters to churches in Ephesus and in Colossae. And think about this. The church goes from Jerusalem within the first century, expands to different parts of the Mediterranean. It's incredible, incredible what God does. And Paul is writing to these churches, and he says his usual intros, you think, and then he says in Ephesians, he says to the saints, or to those made holy. You know, God does that for us. He declares you holy today. Nothing you can do. He does that for you. And that's a sermon in itself. But then he goes on and he says these next words, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. You see, God does the first bit of making us holy, but it's our responsibility to be faithful. It's our responsibility to be devoted. You see, these early believers, it says there that they devoted themselves, yes, to the teaching, but they devoted themselves to community as well. And that's our responsibility, to be faithful, to be devoted to God, yes, but also to our church family. And I'm believing for our young children who are coming through that there's going to be a day where they make that decision to receive Jesus. But also I equally want them to say, hey, I am planted in the house of the Lord. I am going to be devoted. See, I look back on my journey and there was a moment where I came to the decision, this is worth giving my life for. And I'm believing for our young children. And as I fast forward, looking ahead to my life, you know, right at the end, I want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. I wonder when we get to that last day, What will be worthy of that title? Faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, he's made us holy. That's sorted, that's done. But it's our responsibility to live in a manner which could be described like these believers in Ephesus and in Colossae. They were faithful in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you that we've sensed your presence so strong here today. Father, as we come to this moment right now, Holy Spirit, just have your way. Now, I wonder you're here today, and maybe you are a church attender. Fantastic. We're so pleased that you're here. But really, which is of all importance, is where do you stand in your relationship with God right now? Because that day is coming when you breathe your last here on earth and you transition from this life to eternity. And Scripture is so clear, and can I be blunt this morning? It's heaven or hell. That is what the Bible teaches us. So I want to give you an opportunity today to say, hey, Daniel, I want to make that decision. I want to start that relationship with Jesus. And he gives us some promises. He says, yes, eternal life, you'll be in my presence forevermore. But one of the greatest benefits that you will know here on earth is the love of God. And whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, you can know God's love, his goodness, his faithfulness, and his mercy. Until you make that decision, you'll never know the benefit and fullness of that. So I wonder here today, as every head is bowed and eye is closed, you're hearing you say, Daniel, that's me. I want to start that relationship today. Can you help me? And it's really simple. I'm asking you to do. I am the only one looking. Just to raise your hand and say, Daniel, that's me. I want to start that relationship. If that's you, can you just raise your hand right now? I'm looking all around the hall, downstairs and upstairs. I don't want to miss you. You're here and you say, Daniel, I want to start that relationship. It's not just about attending. It's not just being coming along for the journey. It's about living a relationship with him today. One more time, I want to give you this opportunity. If that's you, can you raise your hand right now?